41.3% of the budget is allowed. In total, government is very close spending against the broad rule of thumb benchmark of 41.6%. I'm going to now refer to a document in the annexures, the PowerPoint annexures, starting on page three and going to page four. If you can find that handout, just like this, in the second PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to talk through that consolidated numbers broken out on a growth basis. On page three and four, all 34 votes are broken out separately, starting with the presidency. And the columns provided there show year-to-date spending for each vote, the E&E budget for that vote, the percentage, the actual percentage of budget expended, the projected year-to-date spending, and that is not what was spent, but what was projected to be spent. And that projection is based on the June revision to the projection. So we're looking there at what the department for the department had projected it to spend for the first 5 months of the year. And again, that projection was revised in June. The next column shows the projected percentage of budget expended. So that shows the percentage that the department had planned to spend by the first 5 months of the year. The last column is just a column I've all focused on a little bit, and we'll pick up some larger variances for certain votes, represent the variance between the actual and the projection in the rand amount. So the percentage difference between the rand amount of the projection and the actual spending. Let me clarify that a little further. You will note that, for example, the presidency projected that it would spend 36% of its budget in the first 5 months of the year. So that it has spent 36%, but it's projected that it would spend 40%. So the difference there is obviously 4%. However, that's not really the true magnitude of the difference between the projection and the actual spending. Taking the rand amount between what was spent and what was projected and applying percentage to that is a more accurate analysis of the difference. Okay, in the case of the amount that of 101 million projected versus the amount of 93 million that was spent, the difference between those two amounts is -8%. So I think there's a tendency that's projected for the first 5 months of the year. That's it for the other, because I'm going to be now here to highlighting a couple of examples, or a few examples, of where the variance is 15%, and where the variance might be positive. The first instance where the variance is 15% for growth number 4, the Department of Home Affairs. And understand, the difference between what they projected and what they spent. Projected is -15%. They projected that they spent R1,089,000,000, but they spent instead only R933,000,000. That's the difference of R1,732,000,000. We'll get into the detailed report, which provides Parliament and the staff with the kind of tools that can allow the committee to dig into that initial finding. These are just initial findings. I don't tell you anything about yourself, but it's simply there was a deviation. And so we'll get into some of the details of things that might provide the committee with the ability to drill down and get into some of the some of them own options before they even departed to Parliament, to Croatia. So it's possible that it was really a mistake for that reason. An interesting case I gave is SAMPI, that's the South African Management Development Institute, does not represent a large amount in budgetary terms, but they are overspending their budget by 8%. They're by too large, so they really represent a $2 million difference. They suggested that they would get 28, but they are getting 50, maybe the first 5 months of the year. The main caution is that there is a first 5 months of the year, but really in the 10th month. So, this kind of report is produced regularly, it's produced as we move on through the year, to be more current. And so it will be interesting to see at the end of the second quarter when these numbers fall out. The second another change of a department that spends a different, more than 15% statistics from Africa, with a 66 million rand difference in the projections and their spending. On page 4, I'm going to highlight the Department of Sports and Regulation, showing a 452 million rand difference in their projections from their actuals. That's 23%. That was in the 456 million. They projected that 60 billion, but instead they spent 1.5 billion to that. Again, other reports will show which program that understanding might be occurring, whether it's current or capital, etc. The Department of Environment, that's Environment and Tourism, overspending their budget, or overspending their projection, which is not overspending their budget, but that's what it is, and I can say that, by 5%, which represents 61 million. Probably another number that will jump out to members is for both cities, the Department of Public Enterprises. That is projected, which is in reason, that they would spend by the first half of this year 165% of their budget. However, they only spend 67% of their budget. This is a deviation or difference of 59%. What happens here, and I'm not saying, Thank you.
like to have you in the special relation to the United States. I'm also a member of the United States. So, what is the federal obligation to the United States? Of the CSI, the very sort of power of the military is So, that's very important, and I'm surprised given that necessarily, and Section 44 also determines the format in which the city is subject to the national treasury, which is further budget, the expenditure, which is just the expenditure by month, and then, after that, there's the annual division of revenue act, I'm sure you're all aware of, and that's mainly dealing with conditions on traditional ground. Now, the division of 12 and section 31.5 in the division of revenue act also explains the requirements on the reporting of the expenditure on traditional ground. It also serves an issue with regard to the submission date. We will find a section 44 of the submission date, but I will also find that later on. And if you look at this stuff, it's up here, right at the back. This is the circular that we're talking about. So, the circular is issued by the National Treasury. Okay. And then we are information is published with information by a federal government. And that information on the details is all based on what is sometimes considered to be what we call off the field. The other thing is by picking up an answer, which is just to show you how the cloud information of the government is used to be. The length of the parking must be short to the length of the parking at the two restaurants, as well as to the commercial treasury. Now, for the interesting that after the end of each month, the length of the parking submitting a report to the national department, and in the national department, must be submitting a report for 15 days to the national treasury. And the day was that the national department has part of the program training, the also functional downstream and in the model, then the report is going to be the national treasury, by a state of the national treasury. And again, it is going to be all that it is like the public plan, and it's happening to the public plan. The training goes back to the main slide. I'm taking the slide tomorrow. Slide 2. This slide is going to show you bringing a conversation slide. So that might be a way that we can use in our discussion today. We have done the work to try to go into
Thank you.
go ahead, Mohammed.
Seven, my son was also around the but I did get a full briefing from my colleague in the Shahida on what transpired during the last meeting. Indeed, I did have been considered and looked into the proposed amendment of the program. Some of the proposals are not that. So far as it relates to the constitutional power of the legislature, more particularly on Section 112, with relates to how to determine their internal arrangement, where we have a provision in the bill which prescribes all the provinces. What should they do whether I'm sitting without the bill. I've noticed that in most of their negotiating matters, they indicated so, that it would see that if the council would be imposing on them what to do in conflict with the small amount. So it's also an issue which we need to so that it can be understood that the main intention of this bill is to create uniformity without encroaching into the power of social legislation. There was also a submission which I think from Kim which related to, I would say, the question of semantics. How you put it there in the bill. There are submissions that not bring major changes to the bill insofar as it relates to the way it is being structured. So, for example, the group proposals and the way it is set up, we do those minor recommendations, not that they are not useful. But that will change the substance of the bill. As I said, having looked at all the submissions, we have noted the request that there should be a distinction with regards to money relating to negotiating in Panama. As the bill kind of is there, more particularly on the Annexure A seems to propose negotiating and final money. However, we have also looked into that so that there can be different annexures, the one with negotiating money and final money. Because the current step, it appears that even in the case of negotiating money, in the current form, says that the speaker should sign. So it seems coming to the last meeting, while more or less in agreement that there should be a distinction between the two types of money. We are going to look into that also so that we will be able to work out amendments to that.
Yeah, thanks, Advocate Momot. I'm glad that you are going to consider the proposal by province and by member. And I don't think we are going to take much of your time because we expect that you want to go and clean up all those and bring a formal document to the committee so that we look into all those proposals to see if we can include them in those relevant sections. That's a request that they've been making colleagues that they will allow them to go and clean up all those, even put them nicely in sequence. But before we allow them to take and go, I suppose we really want to say something before the Honorable Leru. How do you do this? For the Honorable Leru?
Thank you, Chairman. The chairman said that there was also an agreement that we should actually give them the opportunity to go and plan and do whatever they want. When Advocate Momoti was actually capturing some of the program made, I did not hear him actually making mention of the other proposal made by some day. So I'm quite aware that he is elaborating to the extent that the meeting of an agreement. So one should also bear in mind that though we did celebrate on them, it's something that is not professional. But however, I think it would be wise to avoid it in that mandate, which the only one that says that, because the committee says, finally the committee proposes that there should be the consideration to providing the voting through video conferencing either in the BAM or in the MCOT rooms, and there will be procedure about the requirements to be complied with in respect of voting. I know that the video conferencing is something that can be said. I don't know how far the departments are, but if you think that is in the logic of the department, so it's also part of it. So that they should also look into that to whether it's suitable in their body to make that mind or not. So.
Yeah, and that's not the point to that comment, because that is you. I don't think it was agreed by the whole committee, the video conference. So there was a comment by counting that came in. They can look into that, but I don't think it was a view of the whole committee. So that was the cause I have to say. Now, in future, technology is advancing. There might be a need for us to look into that. I don't think we can put in this bill. I don't think it will. Yeah, we might be really doing some other things. But now,
thank you,
Mr.
Mamoti. Didn't make any mention of the Eastern Cape, which suggested that the coefficient of public involvement was too wide and we might be unnecessarily put a burden on the provinces where it was unnecessary to have public involvement, as in the case of the Matatiao.
Yeah, I think if you look into the consensus, it was raised under chapter 3, not lost 3, yeah, chapter 2, 3C. I hope you look into that as well. And all other things that were raised, I don't want to go through each and every one. Because I thought that they've settled everything, they're going to bring the whole catalog of all our proposals. Because if we start now by choosing each and everything that we said then, we're opening another debate then. Can I take this colleague that said, can you allow this department to go back? I mean, Advocate Momoti and his team. Go back and see what is that can bring into that one document. If there are some omissions on them, you can bring them. I'll just see this colleague separately. But I'm not saying you're wrong by doing them, just to remind them again. But if then you take that group, you have made my day. Bafo, say some
Imperial. I won't be very long. I've looked at the call to comment that has been made by the honorable members. The one leading to the conference will address it when we present our report and our concerns around that. And also the issue of public involvement, because it's already committed to the Constitution, as you were said, so that the policy is the first public policy. We also address that issue. However, I should say that we COP and the constitutional legislature may be incorporated into the rule. We don't have to include everything in the decision, but we also address also that issue as you have already given in our previous application to the committee. But when we come back to the next of the committee, we come with a final agreement where we address some of the issues that are made by the honourable members of the committee, and also our concern about that. Not that our concerns are going to supersede the view of the members, but that's who bring such concerns to the attention of the members. Thank you, sir.
Well said. Anything from the architect? Good. Fantastic. But in a pan, the name of the moon. In a pan, so far. A pan, I am. By clashes. On that note, is there anything from you at the moment before we thank you and ask you to love us and live us? No, but if I say it went to the notions in why is it to do it in here? But if you want to do it now, you are happy. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, there we are. Now is the time. Someone whispered my ear to vote ANC. No, I'm not there yet. Now, colleagues, we are now at a point where we're going to get our first briefing about what is commonly known as the refugee. I want to thank all the stakeholders who showed interest in this legislation, because their participation will enrich us as legislators. They might be able to persuade us to see things that we were not aware of through their submission. There might be a point where we might be able as well to persuade them to see our point of view. As a committee, we were entitled to call for submissions from people who are interested. And in due course, we're going to do that. Just remember that all of us as a country, as parliament, are speaking the same language. But don't send it in advance for those who were able to contact us and even submit their input. If so we need, we might call some to come and talk to the committee so that they would get their view. But for now, we're having Lawrence Bassett with us, with his colleague, I'm told that he's a specialist guru and as far as these interceptions are concerned. We're going to give him a chance to talk to us about this book. We'll take it from there. Since this is our first briefing, when we take to your house and you choose, can I even go and talk to us about this thing? But as I said, there is much interest about this thing. colleagues, if you allow me, can I immediately, all those who are here, you are welcome. Yours truly welcomes you and feel free to enjoy the discussion. This young man over there, can I now hand over to Lorenzo, who is his colleague, then we'll take it from there. Over to you, Lorenzo.
Thank you very much. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to
regulation of intersection of communications and provisions of Communication Related Information Act 2002, Act 2 2002. I will refer to this act as the Act in the context. The urban intersection of certain communications relating to serious crime, except in terms of the provisions of the Act. In other words, it ensures that intercession and monitoring of communications only take place in accordance with very strict criteria after a specially designated judge has considered an application by any of our law enforcement agencies for permission or interception order to intercept and monitor the communications of a specific person in a particular case. So communications referred to here is mainly cellular phone communications, fixed line communications that rendered by telecom, internet service providers, and the communications rendered by them. The members are also reminded that intercession of communications is only allowed where a serious crime has been or is likely to be committed. Intercession of communication is solely directed at criminals. The Principal Act is also aimed at protecting law-abiding citizens because any intercession and monitoring of private communications by anyone is illegal, subject to severe criminal sanctions. The Principal Act provides for a number of other ancillary issues which I do not intend dealing with in this briefing, except to say that it requires the service providers to obtain and keep certain information pertaining to their clients in case it is required for the detecting or investigation of crime. I mention this ancillary matter specifically because this is what our bill resolves around. It resolves or revolves chiefly around Section 14 and 66 of the Act. These sections, that is section 14 and 66, deal with information that needs to be obtained and kept by persons to sell cellular phones and SIM cards. Section 40 deals with transactions after commencement of that section, and section 66 deals with persons who are currently already customers of a particular mobile cellular operator or are customers of a mobile cellular operator in that specific section is implemented. I must also mention that section 40 and 66 have not yet been implemented and that the bill is mainly aimed to amend the Principal Act, so I'm giving away from a paper-based registration process to an electronic solution. Section 40 and 66 propose a paper-based registration system. The bill aims to make it an electronic system to register certain information. These amendments were requested by the service providers. Vodacom, MTN, Cell C. And further on in this discussion, I will refer to the Act of Mobile Cellular Operators. When the provisions of the Principal Act were in the process of being implemented during 2005, the mobile cellular operators urged government not to implement Section 40 and 66 of the Act, dealing with the registration of cellular phones due to numerous practical issues they had identified. The implementation of these provisions was consequently delayed pending the confirmation of amendments contained in the law. The bill also provides for offensive penalties and other sanctions where its provisions are not complied with. The mobile cellular operators, during their discussions with the department on the proposed electronic solution, indicated that the proposed electronic solution would more or less entail and be applied in the following manner. Firstly, there is existing process to which the required information in respect of post-paid customers is obtained. The registration agent will be designated by the particular NGO for purposes of collecting this information. The registration agents will collect information, conduct a face-to-face validation, and then they will send the collected information over to the central database of the mobile service operators to be recorded and stored there. The briefing will cover the following areas mainly to give a brief overview of section 14 and 66 of the Act and now. That is the provision that we try to amend. I shall then refer to the practical difficulties pointed out by the mobile cellular operators with the implementation of these sections. I will thereafter discuss the difficult process of the law. And finally, I shall deal with the advantages and benefits of the law. Okay, the current section 1466 of the Principal Act. That is the section that we want to amend by the law. Okay, section 40 at the moment places the following obligation on a person who sells or in any other manner provides a cell phone or SIM card to another person. And then, if the recipient is a national citizen, the following must be obtained by the seller from the recipient, namely the full name and identity number, a residential and business or post address, and a certified copy of an identification document. The seller must retain a certified copy of the identification document and must verify the photo, full name and identity number. If the recipient is a juristic person, but is something like a company, the seller must obtain from the person representing the juristic person the following. In respect of the representative, his or her full name, ID number, residential and postal address, and a certified copy of the representative's ID document. In respect of the business, the name and address and registration number is applicable for business, and a certified copy of the business letter. The seller must obtain certified copies of the identification document and the letter. The seller must verify, in respect of the representative, if a photo, full name, and filing number. In respect of the business, the name and the registration number levels. The seller of the phone and SIM card must ensure that proper records are kept of the information, copies obtained, and any change in the information, the seller's telephone number or any other number allocated to the recipient, the number of the seller's phone concerned, and any other information required to identify the recipient. Section 626 of the current Act currently provides that the person who had a date commencement of this Act is the owner of a cellular phone or SIM card. Let's call them the historical owners. Well, they are required to provide information, especially in Section 40, to they are required to provide the information that is referred to in Section 40. The information that is provided in a manner within a period that must be determined by the Minister by notice in his address. This information must be provided to the person sold or provided the phone of card or the mobile cellular operator. In respect of the notice, the following requirements are set out. Namely, that A, different periods may be determined by the Minister. B, the Minister may consult with the NGO before determining the period. And C, the notice must be submitted to Parliament before publication. The following practical difficulties were identified by the mobile cellular operators regarding the implementation of Section 46. hundreds of service markets, mainly rural areas. A type of bank registration process will not be viable for these sellers who will not have the infrastructure to comply with the Act. This will have a negative impact on job creation and employment in the informal distribution chain, with the resulting negative impact on services and taxes. Furthermore, law enforcement agencies will be the world experience difficult to and tracing documents through a cascading decentralized service-based system. In other words, law enforcement agencies would have to approach different persons and organizations which form part of the distribution channel in order to gather information and trade with documents and cellular phones as the distribution channels are not structured. Also, difficulties will be experienced in enforcing and managing the registration of cellular phones and SIM cards already in circulation, since there is no central control mechanism to establish whether a customer is failed to register or not. Difficulties will be experienced in enforcing the registration of cellular phones. Okay, I will now give you an overview of the individual clauses of the law. We'll be tried in many sections 14 and 6. The main clause 1 of the law refers a number of new definitions in the Principal Act, which also means a number of existing definitions. The bill is aimed mainly at registration and verification of certain particulars of owners of cellular phones and SIM cards, for instance, addresses and identity. If a person cannot provide an address or identity document, they will not get access to cellular phone services. Some of the definitions in Clause 1 are therefore intended to ensure that as many persons as possible will be in a position to comply with the registration requirement, particularly persons who live in outlying areas who rely heavily on cellular phone services, for instance, persons needing information about pension payouts, and cellular phone banking. I think the memorandum of the object of the law explains this definition and the reasons for well. There's no definition to facilitate compliance with the registration requirement. The new definition of address size referring to a conventional form of address, such as where the person usually resides, also includes as address places persons living in informal settlements, for instance, the address of a school, church or retired school, where a person living in an informal settlement usually receives his or her vote. This is in the case of a natural person. If the person is however a juridic person, like a company, address is defined as the registered address of the listed person, or the address where the business of the listed person is situated. Okay, this definition has a bearing on Section 42 of the Act, which I will refer to later. In order to clarify the expression informal settlement in the definition of address, the new definition of informal settlement is defined as a place in the building for rural settings used for residential purposes, and in respect of which no fixed address or street particulars are officially assigned. The definition of identification documents already in the Constitutional Act is being amended in order to assist persons who may, for some other reasons, not be in possession of identity documents. As currently defined in the Constitutional Act, for persons, was not yet 16 years old and refugees. The current definition has been expanded to include documentation which children younger than 16 years can obtain, for instance, a passport. This definition recognizes the fact that there are many child-headed households who do not qualify for identity documents that are contemplated in the Identification Act 1986. Furthermore, an identification document now includes the following. In the case of a person who is an African citizen, such identity documents is displayed by an identity source as contemplated in the Identification Act of 1997. Or, an identity card issued in terms of Section 14 of the Identification Act. Also, a temporary identity certificate issued in terms of Section 16 of the Identification Act. Or, a South African passport issued in terms of the South African Passport Travel Document Act 1994. Furthermore, in the case of a person who is not a South African citizen or not permanently resident in the subject, a refugee. A valid passport or travel document as contemplated in the Immigration Act of 2002. Or, in the case of a person who is a refugee, a valid identity document issued in terms of Section 50 of the Refugees Act of 1998. The proposed new definition of identity number broadens the scope of what identity number is, to include not only the number referred to as the identity number in a particular identity document, but also a passport number or a number which is issued on a document to a refugee in terms of Section 50 of the Refugee Act 1998. The definitions of identification documents and identity number vary on Section 43, which I will discuss later on. Other definitions, such as evidence and has been included in the law, is a new definition of activate, which means to allow access to the network of the electronic communication service provider, actually a mobile cellular operator, to provide a mobile cellular electronic communication service. This is intended to provide clarity on when a telephone or some card will be regarded as activated for the use of the compensation. The definition of customer and consular act is extended to include former customers of NCOs where applicable. At present, it only refers to existing customers of mobile cellular operators. The amended definition of customer as appearing on Section 67 and 66C of the Act, which will be discussed later on, as well as Chapter 3 of the Principal Act, which relates to application in the granting of Section 105 of the The definition of family member has been inserted. One application and is proposed in Section 45 of the Principal Act, dealing with the disposal of and value of families controlled by a person to another person. Other than a family member, will be discussed shortly. A family member means a person who is related to another person biologically, aesthetically, customer, or religious law, including affinity by marriage, adoption, or foster care, a person is then a blood partner on the case of orphan, orphan, a caregiver at the time of the Children's Act of 2005. Clause 2 of the bill replaces the current Section 40 of the Principal Act. And it's also the main provision in the Act by which we try to regulate recording and storing this information on mobile cellular operators. The proposed Section 41 prohibits a mobile cellular operator from activating a SIM card or allowing it to use a cellular phone on its electronic communication system unless such a SIM card has been complied with. Well, the activation of the SIM card is one of the essentials for a mobile cellular operator to grant access to a customer on a system. If you prohibit a mobile cellular operator from activating a SIM card, then a customer can, by no means, access or get a telecommunications service from a mobile cellular operator. I think the first Section 42 number, the IMPI number, the entity number, and the following personal particulars of the person who requests that the SIM card be activated or that the cellular phone be allowed to be used on the system of a mobile cellular operator, namely the date of the South African person, the South African citizen or sovereign, and the name of the resident in the Republic, the full name and surname, identity number, and at least one address of such person. In case of a person who is not a South African citizen, or who is not currently resident in the Republic, the full name and surname, identity number, and at least one address of such person and the country where the passport was issued. Or, in case of a registered person, the full name, surname, identity number, and address of the authorized representative of the registered person, and the name and address of the registered person, and where applicable, registration number of the registered person. Just want to return to information at the beginning, namely the MSISDN number. It was required of the mobile cellular operators to in their records store the MSISDN number. So your MSISDN number is your cellular phone number. That is a dialable number that you use to reach another person. So each MSISDN number are specifically stored by a mobile cellular operator. The requirements, or rather the directions to IMEI number, relate to a number that they have been allocated to a cellular phone handset. It's usually printed on the handset, but you can also access it by typing in a certain code on your handset, whereby you can actually reach or achieve your IMEI number on the mobile cellular phone. That must also be stored. So firstly, the dialable number of the person, and then the handset number. Okay, the entity number, the number of SIM cards, actually stands for International Mobile Subscriber Identity Number. The technical, it's a unique 16-digit code that is attached to every SIM card, and it makes it possible for mobile networks to identify the own country and network of a subscriber. That must also be stored by the mobile cellular operators, as well as all the personal particulars that they discuss. The first section 43 spells out how the information that is stored and stored must be verified. A mobile cellular operator must verify the full name, surname, identity number and identity of the person, and where applicable, the country where the passport was issued by means of an identification document. The name and, where applicable, the registration number of the registered person by means of documentation, including a registration document. Signing statement, a document issued by the South African for any new services or any other similar document. Verification of, in the case of the South African citizen and the registered person, the address should be verified by means of documentation, including a bank statement, a municipal rate of tax invoice, telephone or cellular phone account, not older than 3 months, or any other utility bill or an account of a retailer not older than 3 months, or an existing lease, rental or credit side agreement, or also insurance policy, a current television license, or new motor vehicle license and documents. Now this is not required in the case of a visitor to the country, and furthermore, the authority of the representative of the registered person comes from the letter of authority or the affidavit. The proposed section 42 places obligation on the mobile cellular operator to ensure that it receives the same registered required information, that is all the information to the moon is going to change its status, which it was, which is fine. The low moon is because the mobile cellular operator can record and store this information, sometimes it's for this specific network. The crop will be formed by the mobile cellular industry, the storing of this information. Then the minister may, for discretion, like it seems, sometimes, if it's necessary, she can actually determine certain security standards, describe how this might be done. The proposed sections 45 and 46 make provision for the instances where activated cellular phone is transferred by one person to another person who is not a family member. Transfer of cellular phones and SIM cards between family members is excluded from the ambit of the provision for section 45 and 46. In terms of the proposed section 45, if a person sells or in any other manner provides an activated cellular phone or SIM card to another person who is not a family member, the person receiving the cellular phone or the SIM card the person giving the cellular phone or SIM card must immediately supply the relevant mobile cellular operator with the following information. Full name, surname and identity number of the person giving the cellular phone or SIM card and all the particulars of the person receiving the cellular phone or SIM card as is required by section 42. Mobile cellular operators must, upon receipt of this information, verify the full name, surname and identity number and identity of both persons, giver and recipient, with reference to their identification documents. Verify the address contemplated in section 43 of the person who has received the SIM card or the cellular phone by means of the documents contemplated in that section, and verify the particulars contemplated in section 52. The mobile cellular operators must, upon receipt of this information, immediately record and store the information as is contemplated in section 52. The proposed section 47 obliges the mobile cellular operators to respond to a query of law enforcement agency whether a particular person is a customer of the mobile cellular operator in question, and also to provide certain information relating to that customer prior to the issuing of an intersection direction in terms of the principal act. Before we just go a bit back, in terms of chapter 3 of the act, if the law enforcement agencies want to apply for an intersection direction in terms of the act, one of the requisites for such an application is that the idea of certain particulars of the person must be furnished to the designated judge the identity of the person must also be known and then they can apply to the designated judge in the session direction. And the reason for section 47 is mainly to facilitate the making of applications for the session direction. The proposed section 48 requires an employer agent of an NCO to report any false information that has been submitted for verification purposes to a police official at the police station. So if a person actually submits some kind of false identification document to a registration official of a mobile cellular operator, there is a statutory obligation on that specific agent of the mobile cellular operators to report that to the police officer in the station as an example. In the proposed section 49 grants the minister the power by notice in a gazette or period not exceeding 3 months to exempt mobile cellular operators from verifying, recording, and storing the messages of visitors to the country. time international link by the Republic may be affected, the international obligations of the Republic, the relationship between the Republic and the international community, the objectives of universal access to the Republic Communication Service, and the number of persons entering the Republic in a particular period of time. I must mention that one of the traits of the act is that if you are a person that comes from a region that actually lives in South Africa, it would require some years to spend the relevant procedures providing communication for the two of them. So they are not already operating, or they can actually allow you to access the government. This specific provision, section 49, is aimed at citizens, a particular life of 2016 rugby World Cup in the United States should grant the kind of land extension of a teleoperators to them. So that period not required.
Can you repeat that?
Section 49 mainly aims at large event hosted by the Republic in the area of the 2016 World Cup. It requires from each and every person, drivers, that is visiting the country, to actually keep the particular mobile cellular operator so they can have access to mobile cellular service. Section 49 is aimed at this position and grants the minister the authority to bring our cellular operators to five positions of the act. The effect will be that drivers can actually come into the country and freely drive on the system of the mobile cellular operators. Furthermore, conviction under this section does not release another cellular operator from compliance with the relevant section. Also, the bill amends section 62.6 of the Municipal Act. Section 62.6 of the Municipal Act relates to persons that will already be customers at that stage when section 62.6 is implemented. And we'll describe the process how mobile cellular operators must go about, not just mobile cellular operators, but also customers of your mobile section 62A, 62B and 62C and Principle Act. The first section 62A provides that a nest may determine the initial tariff for compensation payable by number of tenders operating. The person can destroy provided that the order should be able to store the information contemplated in section 66 of the Act. This was inserted at the request of the number of tenders operators in order to eliminate any unnecessary competition in this crucial initiative. The proposed section 62B places an obligation on the mobile cellular operators to inform the customers of their obligations in terms of the proposed section 50, 51 and 66 of the Act, and the manner and in which such obligations must be complied with, as well as the consequences of non-compliance with these obligations. I think we have not dealt with this in section 41. Section 41 of the Act provides that if a person uses a cellular phone or a SIM card, or that the cellular phone and SIM card is stolen, must go to a police station and must report the lost cellular phone and SIM card. That can be actually a criminal sanction. Can be imposed on such a person if he does not comply with section 41. The first section 16.2c requires from the arrested persons to provide other cellular phones and SIM cards to their employees to keep records of the particulars of these employees. It also requires persons to reward, hire out cellular phones or SIM cards to record and store the particulars required in terms of section 42 and verify the personal particulars of their clients. This information must be stored for a period of 5 years. Failure is also criminalized. Clause 6.7 of the Act is very technical in nature and deals with the commencement of the law. The sixth amendment, section 63 of the Principal Act. At the moment, section 63 provides that the Principal Act comes into operation on the day issued by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. Clause 6 adds a new provision to state of section 46.6, which is, as already mentioned, not yet in operation. The government's operation on the same date as the bill when the bill is implemented. This in effect does away with the necessity for the President to implement this provision by proclamation. The 7th of the bill provides that the bill shall come into operation on 1 January 2008 or on such earlier day as the President is determined by proclamation of the bill. I think it's appropriate to discuss the advantages and benefits of the bill at this stage. And I think I can say that the bill will have the following advantages. First, this is related to law enforcement in the country. The bill will improve the effectiveness of the Principal Act, especially from the perspective of the law enforcement agencies. As the necessary company information in this regard will be centrally available at each mobile cellular operator. Due to this, time and resources of the law enforcement agencies will be saved. That they can approach a simple source to obtain the necessary information that they require, rather than follow that old paper trail system as it's currently described in the Act. Furthermore, the proposed solution is not reliant on government sources, so this will eliminate the need to place a new
tendency by the president, now by federal operators and historical customers, to be well aware of the obligations and the time period for the inflation. Obligations to register now placed on the mobile cellular operators and not historical owners, appropriate steps will be taken by such operators to ensure compliance with the Act otherwise the mobile cellular operators will suffer economic support. And I believe at the conclusion, one can think of emphasizing that it will require catching of essential information, not only from investigation purposes, but also information that may be required as evidence in court. Without the requirement to set out in the law, there will be gaps or loopholes, making the compliance principle act almost meaningless. That concludes my question on the bill itself.
Okay. Anything from you, Lawrence? Anything from you? Thank you very much for taking us through this bill. Of which we appreciate even for trying to clarify some of the things that are contained in this bill. I will allow you to ask questions, but before they do that, by the way, how long was this the portfolio committee?
Chair, the
portfolio
committee helped me. I think it was introduced in May 2006, and they finished at this moment.
So it's almost a year and not a month. Now, this question I'm asking is looking at the clock survey. The clock has it. Where it is said that this will come into operation on the 1st of January 2008. Who brought this provision to this?
It's fine.
My point here is that someone is undermining the integrity of this committee. If the Portfolio Committee has this bill for almost a year and some months, but we are dictated to pass it in 3 months, it's an integrity committee. In future, you must advise whoever that you cannot accept it. And you need to undermine the president because you are dictating the presidency, you must sign it. He'd like to announce before this day. It's an insult of our president. You can't dictate to him, you know, even to other committees. I mean, in future, this kind of provision, without even consulting my colleagues, this will not come to effect. And we'll raise it and see it as well. Nobody must tell us to say you must pass it before this day. Why they had it for the whole year and some months? It's not even a year because I know this was also used sometimes. This is an issue. So, there was not, please, let's look at this kind of provisions in the future. Because it sends around message to the public, as this two powers that work just like provoking the heat for a rubber stamp. Yeah, on that, you need a rough and feather, but let me go there to my meat. But not you anyway, not you, you are just a messenger. And whoever brought this close provision, I think, we'll talk to them. Colleagues, here we have the interception bill that was well explained. The object of the bill and why it is necessary for us to have this kind of provision. So. Yeah, can I recognize the Honorable Leroux, Honorable Zizi, Honorable Mac, Honorable Manuosi in that order? Over to you, colleagues.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to say thank you to Mr. Robertson for the way in which he explained the very technical bill to us. And, the first thing I want to ask him is that are there somewhere that it's impossible for the service provider to actually get all this done within 12 months? Is that valid or is that invalid? And secondly, the cost involved, now it says that the service providers will pay, but they are not actually going to pay. We, the users, are going to pay. And have we any idea how much this is going to cost to get installed and store and keep all this? Thank you.
Thank you. In that order.
When passing this beam, that it would sanctity where it is going, it was actually not in the presence. I might be wrong, but when I read it, it's saying not extending section 1, section 40 and 2, sub 6, come into operation on the day on which the regulation of interception of communication and provision of communication related information amendment. I don't know, but to me it seems like hope that whatever happens, it will be retrospectively whatever. My kid there, I will hear the comment. Now, the other thing that also to add on the issue, I might be also wrong. This Interception and Monitoring Act, I think it comes a long way. I had one thing, Energy was involved in this, and a lot of research and soliciting information from other countries on this. Am I right to say that when we, in the completion of this information, this function was given to the police, to become the function of the police, and it was removed completely from the competence of justice? And if that's the case, I need to be correct. And hence, if you choose such an outcome, I think it comes away to the result. Now, yes, I may also enter into the same thing. I think some sort of explaining these things in a way of the one who came before. Now, it disadvantages some of us who were not there, and some of us who were there, we might struggle the following. Now, I wanted to try to find out if all other stakeholders are being now sort of cited here. What about the street vendors, which are most people that we never know people that will actually give us problems because they don't have all these in the service of the places and all that. It's a minor step of the month. Now, how are they being actually monitored? How is it going to be when it's seen and voted in the last name in the instance of that? the same country. There should be a mention of the curse. Now, in the monetary interception, because this is when it's stolen, very important, whatever, it's given us as a new SIM card. Would a person or police or any officer be able to check out in the new SIM card that code of the instrument used now in the new SIM card? Because that is the likelihood that that is going to happen, because you may find that, I was going to take a little bit and say why am I thinking that. The other thing, you have also spoken of the person who, when an application is made to the person, that would be a designated judge. What about the acting judge? Are they not designated judges? Can they also sign if been approached? And what happened in the special application where this interception is needed and for now, is there any other mechanism provided that who can be approached and who can find it in that case? I think the sort of SIM card is in the same thing. Those are the issues that I wanted to raise in just to find out whether it's
Yeah, for each restaurant, that was rather more easy. I will now recognize the Honorable May.
Thank you for this good reading and taking some time. And I tell you that it was very helpful. Because I am not going to raise the beyond the rule of and I don't know how many people do this stuff. But let me stop here. I am so good at reading. And strengthen your arm for testing our support to and then I think the category, applying category, I think you mentioned the category could be people with contracts and people with simple contracts. And I think there's another case. And one of them was the contract, first of all. So the contract is quite, I don't need to be very loud. The number of things that they also put in there can never be really safe. Then, the other thing you mean, you say when you buy a film card. I do not have any of them, but I know you buy some cards from shoppers or children's kids for $1.99, and the donor asked before he was in the donor to pay me. So I just tried to think of how it is. One of my concerns when this application for interpretation is this for law enforcement and as you say, the law enforcement, whatever is covered, such is government enforcement, that is covered private companies, private security for owners. I would like to know can apply to interpretation of my condition. For my condition, I don't think anyone, I don't think any conditions are going to apply. What is the criteria for people doing the application? And what are the reasons to register it? Then the bigger concern, also, people interpretation, and then it gets on the side. That has already happened, even a little conversation on the interface.
Even toys in groups coming to our country. But I'm concerned, as I told you from the beginning, that we're always taking from that. We already have problems, and you know, we're not working with the IEP. If I was in some crowd, in the dark of the day, there is no public church. I have to go in church on the police station. So, I'm hearing what I'm doing in my home. I'm hearing that sometimes age for differences from the church. And that is one of my biggest problems. I am with you for the purposes, for the prevention of criminality and criminal acts. That we are looking into new areas of the challenging interests of the individual, but also the community that was the head of the government for the transition.
Thanks, colleague, Honorable Mayor. Can I now recognize the Honorable Magnotti?
Thank you, sir. Sir, I think that we have to stop fighting. I think we are at liberty to recommend that this act will come in the operation on a day that we are comfortable. I think the MA of the police was comfortable. We may be comfortable with the best of March 2018. I think we are different. They have good positions. We have got the good positions in terms of our work. Come to the
Maybe from this side, your honorable manual is a side, because normally all the bills in Parliament, when you put a short title, the style from these drafters and everybody is that as determined by the president, on the day determined by the president. We have never done this kind of thing to say. This is as much under the president. You don't do that. It's never done, unless it's your own ambition. Now, question from this side. Was there any problem if we only decide a number and leave all these other things that you have decided to say? What was the problem? Other than deciding the number and not all these other things, IMC, and all the other stuff that you just mentioned. What was the problem when that was done? Number two, which country has such a legislation? That gives us maybe four examples of four countries that have this kind of legislation. Number three. That's a real emphasis to my colleagues that if you lose your phone or SIM card, you have to quickly rush and look for the police. Unless this is aimed at people who are living in this, I hate to say suburbs, but look at the whole country and think of those who are living at the back of beyond, at the periphery around you. If you lose your SIM card, you have to rush quickly. Look for a position. And now people, when they are wronged by criminals, it is even hard. When you are feeling pain, it's so hard and difficult to get to a police station. What more when you just do the SIM card? You must now, if you don't do this, and then you're in for it. If you can take now, we're just asking general questions, we're not telling you, we're just general questions, because people are telling you. This can also unpack that way. Now, one other thing that the mother sister said that we have to understand, and you must be ready and be prepared to proceed as Mr. Robinson, my sister, Congress, that we are member of the CPC. Yeah, this, the exemption part, where people will be coming here in 2010 for the Soccer World Cup, maybe exempted by the ministry. How are going to identify these people? This is a soccer fan, this one is coming to watch soccer for the whole month. Or this one is... How are people identify it? I mean, the intention of the legislation, they can correct to make sure that whatever we legislate, it's implementable. My worry has been about registering between those who are wrong. My concern. usually when our tourists and people who are visiting our country, they go and queue at the immigration desk to get their pass to enter the country. They queue there for some time. Now another thing is that they must go now and look for a service provider to go and queue there again. In my queue there to get this registration. Our foreign. No, sorry for our tourists. I don't know. As I'm going on, maybe you try to educate us about our family. Some of us then. I'm not comfortable. I don't know why. Because I was in Namanwe. Yeah, these are just all general questions for now. General questions. Just for us to get educated. And the first month that to have to register. Do you think it's enough to enroll in everybody in the country? Is it enough to can take everybody? The last one. He said, who are going to pay for this thing? They said, provide themselves, they almost make available those gadgets for registration. I think that the ones are going to pay. Maybe another question, where have you said the committee says from this side, those will be the only questions. Let me recognize Mamianda. I can gladly now request Mr. Robertson and Lawrence to now respond to this easy question that we're just massaging you know. Okay, now respond. I'm told that he will be ready at about 11, but since this is our first question, I'm not going to keep you long now by attending this meeting, I can promise you. But can you respond? No, it's enough.
That it can be done within a specific time. The committee
But they failed to provide that information. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, continue.
some consideration, just we need to write things that it's not necessary in terms of the act that this section puts in consideration, but that they will come into consideration specifically in the full or to come into consideration. So maybe it's just this little bit. Next question. Regarding a seat vendor. Well, it relates to presence in a machine, digital, mobile, cellular phone, and some cars. You can actually also sort of buy these things at other places. But I don't think it will actually have an impact on that people as such. And I know how specifically the mobile cellular operators are going to regulate their environment. That is actually left up to them. But if it is mobile cellular phone or some cars, that doesn't the same mean in terms of the act that you will have access to mobile cellular services. So you will actually buy something like a cellular phone or some cars that is very good. Only become active once it has been activated by a mobile cellular operator. The thing registered is, in terms of the registration process, if you're looking to identify a mobile cellular operator, will activate some card cellular phone. But before activation by a mobile cellular operator, you must have a usable SIM card or a cell phone. And after activation by the mobile cellular operator, it becomes usable.
Okay, just on that, I think Mr. Roberts pointed out right at the beginning of his briefing that the present sections as they are now would have impacted negatively on the street vendors, because they would have to get the infrastructure to start with that paper registration. So I think the both are beneficial. It doesn't impact on the street vendors out there or the people in informal distribution chains out there in informal areas, rural areas. You're going to, they will still be able to sell their SIM cards, they'll still be able to sell the handsets, but the buyer will have to go to one of these registration points that will be operated by the MCO's register. So I think this is wonderful. Very, very positive aspects of this, but not going to affect your vendors.
So Lauren, the buyer, you are referring to the very same poor person who might be able to buy a cell in those, the very same role there. So how can you tell this to him? Because if you buy that thing by the screen, he must look, he or she must look for this segregation register. So it's back to zero. You can't say it's beneficial to those people. It's back to zero. But they, no, I think it's clear. Yeah, let's continue. Wait.
Okay, so you want to relate to the designated version, which looks like a server, where there are these certain things or something.
Okay.
The designated job in terms of this act, okay, the act makes provision for certain emergency information that might be obtained by the enforcement agencies without the designated data. At the moment, without ever a procedure where the designated judge is actually then introduced in the process afterwards to validate that. So in dire emergency, firstly, in terms of section 7 and 8 of the Act, which relates to certain, certain, let's call it incidents, where a person's life and limits in danger, the law enforcement agencies can actually approach an adult child life maker to give them certain information. Firstly, only to determine location, no intercept of any communication is possible under that, and also certain other instances limited access to communication from the person is allowed, but no formal intercession. In terms of the Act, the Estimated Judge will only authorize an intercession. Firstly, if the person is accused of a serious offence, and that the offence is listed as an connection to the Act, including things like terrorism, murder, drug killing, and many other serious offences. That is one of the conditions. Secondly, it must be identified by the person. So, and earlier, a certain number that they can receive. Obviously, the practical way I would assume them is that the law enforcement agencies will make certain statements, affidavits, which they will set up their case from all there, alleged with the prerequisites of the Act, name of the person, certain number, the Act of which the person is more there accused of. If it is serious offence or not. Then hand it over to the judge to make a decision on that. The judge can then, after considering this application, if it's not satisfied with the application, request them to give him any additional information or he can receive the decision by action. The decision by action is also only available for a certain period of time, and therefore there's 3 months. And if that period needs to be extended after the 3 months period, you must go back to the judge and have a judge and request him to firstly extend your direction to one before you can continue with the decision. Also a question that relates to South African data. This was asked, why is justice involved in this role and why not South African data not doing?
Well, the down data, which we went around with all countries. But when we were down to the main, it was simply to us. The same thing to do.
I can maybe explain this. The Act before this Act was the Inspection and Monitoring Prohibition Act. The Inspection and Monitoring Prohibition Act was actually administrated by the Department of Justice. And one hand, you must distinguish between the administration of the Act and the practical implementation of the Act. The previous Act, the Monitoring Prohibition Act, was administrated by the Department of Justice as such. And we were also responsible to appoint the legislative judge in terms of that Act. Justice as such hasn't got an investigating component, the only investigating component that they're going to have is by research for special operations. They are responsible for investigating crime. Department of Justice doesn't investigate, so the main concern is mainly the prosecution of crime, not investigation at all.
The minister will exempt some people. Now, the example of proper training from here, what we say is how we're going to identify those who are going to be coming in, so we do that proper training that can be exempted, you know, rather than ordinary service for our victim or things to boost our economy.
Thank you.
number two. It depends though, let's stick to mobile telephone operators, but a mobile telephone number can be identified in respect of what is from that person. Okay, that is mainly what the judge will take into account. Some kind of human fault is great. Well, at least some kind of case, I don't say that he's a person that is a case. I think the judge will then proceed with law and the decision in violation. Okay, next question related to formal settlement. The bill actually tried to cater to extend for registration, listing formal settlement. You can understand the original act that it was placed a lot of duties and burdens on the people who register the business of the firms and some sort. They were actually requested to photocopy copy of the person's identification document that they have to take. So, formal settlement is missing all the people actually own that photocopy machine. The law decided to relay with that. Also, the sorting of the communication that photocopy that must take place in formal settlement. Well, this is not based on the mobile telephone operator. So the formal settlement to extend their knowledge. So that in the formal settlement, so during our discussions with the mobile telephone operators, it did bring it to our attention that they will actually arrange registration agents in the vicinity near or in the formal settlement catered for the registration. Intended in terms of the law.
I'm not too sure, Mr. Morsi. I think the question was more how it relates to where he lives, for instance. How does that definition relate to somewhere where he lives?
Yes, in town, an informal settlement that says without a place, which where you cannot say street number one or manual street. But now in rural area, what is the informal settlement?
And I think what we're trying to do here is to make it as wide as possible. I don't think one that goes too much into what the informal settlement is, what you're trying to do. Suggest that if you have a place either in a rural setting or in an urban setting where there are no street names or there are no physical addresses, then you would qualify there. But if there's a church in that informal settlement, that's where you're the person that lives there gets your post, then it seems to be a definition of address. So that people living in those areas, either in a rural settlement or in an urban setting, can get themselves an address. I mean, so no matter what the setup is in the rural area, that's the intention. I hope I've answered this in the next question.
Yeah, continue, Sarah.
Yeah, the next question. Explain why the I or the other funny abbreviation that is used in the middle. I think the mortgage part at the beginning. Certain information is usually necessary for the investigation of the machine.
number or the dialogue number, or the telephone number, it's actually still in the regulation of our satellite operator. The same is committed, that we can go to the mobile satellite operator and increase them to the record. They can then say, person A actually contact person B who was murdered. And they can actually see if there was some kind of link between person A and person B. Again, I have to explain the variations, IBI and all that. I'll start with the mobile subscriber as the integrated digital network number, the MSIDN number. Well, the MSIDN number, I'll just explain it, that is your mobile cellular phone number, the number I can dial, to which you know the person. The IEI number, that's your name is the abbreviation, actual quack, which that abbreviation is related to the International Mobile Equipment Number. Okay, the IBI number is the unique number to every global system for mobile communications, which is known as the GSM system, of a particular cellular phone contact system. That is to identify the cellular phone, usually. If you make calls to some calls, your IPI number is also registered on the system of the mobile cellular operators. The IPI number can be used to trace what happened to a cellular phone after the crime has been committed. Might be some condition of a potential outbreak. They can identify the cell phone by IBI number. So in order to get it, quite evident. The IBI number is also a number that's usually used by the cellular operators to block cellular phone on the networks or spur. They can identify the IBI number across all the networks. With regard to the EMC number, that's usually, I did explain it previously, is a number that's allocated to a SIM card. It's got certain features. It's usually breaks up in something like the mobile country code.
I'm responding to my question. So the question was, why is it necessary to register all those things rather than just a number? That was the question.
Okay.
The abbreviation number, I think we get it, I just want to test this. Why is it necessary to register all those other things rather than just a number? Like it is the case.
So,
she probably
said, the others is mainly for further identification. As I referred to just now, the IPI number can be used to trace the phone across all the networks of the mobile cellular operators. It can also be used as evidence to identify the particular cellular phone in the position of the developer. And there is certain reasons why we insert all the others except for the cellular phone number.
Now, I can tell you that currently it's not possible to identify a number at least one call. In the current identifier, it has my number if I call.
Okay.
Why now this all this other question?
Well, the current identifier is you by your telephone number if you make a call. If you have a contract with you've got a contract with our website. If you have a prepaid person, you will be nameless. The other is mainly server identification.
So that is the reason. So those who are conscious are identifiable. So the opposite of that is again. All of these kind of things. Yeah, all those things, yeah. Why not only the number?
I think it's really in a nutshell, the law enforcement agencies, the investigation and detection of prevention of crime. It's important that you couple not only the SIM cards to a particular owner, it's also important to couple the handset to a particular owner. That's why. I'm just using those two as examples, you know, why one device. But in the interest of law enforcement, it's important that if a handset is used on the system, the law enforcement agent must know who the owner of that handset is. Not the same, the fact that it might not be in the owner's own hand, it might be disturbed. As well, the law enforcement agent must know who is the owner of the SIM card.
My question was, which other countries have similar legislation? A lot of countries actually do have similar legislation. Start with Switzerland, Taiwan. Dalai Lama, a very, very small country, Singapore, and we've come to Europe, not to the same extent as ours, but European directive was accepted and implemented in, the European countries, not in Britain, but actually we make provisions for data retention. Probably much of this thing, our actions. But yeah, the legislation of some cards, several of our presidents, is a very good legislation. Switzerland, Taiwan, Singapore, a couple of others, I don't know if that's the other one. I'm sure it is a lot of other countries.
Maybe for my own other family, for example, when, not long ago, when I went to Belarus when they landed in Heathrow before. They welcomed me then, on my cell phone, they said, welcome to London. It means they knew that I was there. So, I thought it was very hard with the country. I suspect they're doing the same thing with the media. They're welcome to our country. Isn't the case? Is that only? Now, let me come for them to reduce our game, even if they're not going to get away that this person is coming out from. It's still nothing. That's my own understanding of what I get this
year. Firstly, like I say, the United Kingdom has, part of the process of even similar process regarding data retention. Their legislation or their regulation and their action go as far as our nation on this matter. So, insofar as it's related to roaming persons, I think we are the only country in the world that actually is working on this issue. Although, other countries
So, in terms of roaming, why the only comes? Why inventing this thing?
Oh.
Okay, now continue, sir. The company that you said in your ability, that if you give your SIM card or your phone to a family member, what are you going to do with this person of this different family member? We are still going to talk about it. But if you give your phone to a family member, or let's say to my friend, who just told someone, you said something that yeah, you know, in our culture, one of my youngsters, Manyanda, they'll tell you that the family member in our culture, it's not what you might think. It's a shame of so many people. And now, it's not as narrow as people can think. So, what I want to talk about this, it's not going down with this. A family member to us. Yeah, let's continue. For example, if now I'm going to Milan, you know, I'll get some people there, and those people from now they'll be family members. You know what I mean, Lawrence? You know, Lawrence, when I go there, I've got these people there, then we'll change numbers so that we keep in contact, yeah? You understand? Now, that person is now my family member. So, that's the thing. If you get she, you're only entitled to do this. dollars, eh? Anyway, let's continue. I just want you to understand the concept of a minimum by African tradition. Okay, right. I think the is there any other thing that you can
I think that we covered everyone.
Good. Now, since this is our first briefing, I think it's enough for the day. What I'm going to do, I'll direct my office to just write to those service providers just to get their views about this. Just see what they're feeling about this student education. And I'll also be happy to get some comments from the Ministry of Environment and Tourism and from the Ministry of Communication, just to get their views. What are they saying about this education? So we'll move all of us in this one understanding. But for now, Karen and Lawrence, you've done so well in the previous stage. Thank you very much for taking us through this. You will inform me when I'm going to speak again to consider this, to kind of consider this with the bill. Maybe next time formally. At 12, there will be one of the best. I want to call it the Samsung of Neil today. It's something extraordinary. At 12 o'clock here at the restaurant, everybody in this room is invited to come and enjoy this Samsung of lunch day. Again, colleagues, you remember that in our last meeting, there was this confusion about the designer, not the designer.
Yeah.
Finally, yesterday, it was said, no, that we are going. And then our committee was identifying in front of the people of body. And we're having two bills that are going to discuss a while in design. We'll meet again on Monday and Tuesday at the committee. We meet after the visit to the respective offices. We'll meet in the afternoon. But since we'll be there, we'll get the notices in due time. And relevant departments will be informed of those bills that are going to be discussed. Any parting thoughts for me, Lord, before I ask you to come and join us for lunch?
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. Colleagues, is there anything that maybe to Honorable Fielding, we're still waiting, you talked to us about the mandating bill in our next meeting. There was nobody in the last meeting in today to talk to your mandate. But we'll go to apology from another level that they still have that come. In our next meeting, we'll be glad to send it to Monday. Yes. So we didn't talk to it without your permission. So even the rule said, no, I don't want to take from that alone belong to me. So it's a different case and you're not ready. That was a fair comment from him. Honorable Mabel next.
Thank you, Chief. Honorable Mabel. I very appreciate each meeting this morning. And by phone, I invite them to continue. There's nothing that I think that will affect the problem negative, so they have to approve it.
One last question, please. No, thank you very much. No, thank you. Colleagues, is there anything before I tell you anything? Nothing. Sorry? Oh, no, don't worry. Before that, I see one of our veterans, one of my peers, up there. Welcome to Parliament, bro. Thank you very much. Okay. One of them. In fact, we'll carry everything. If you do your copy here, but you probably have been searching one of them, the LG one. And the sexual offense is one of those. For me and that, I'm not going to follow that step, but I know I have to say something. Transylvania, some of these languages are too big for me. And on this one, I think we're doing this one yet from one of the Reka ones. And that would be, because I'm talking about Wednesday, eh? Yeah. So, anything can happen if there are continuous colleagues, they will inform you every day. If they don't mind, you will have a problem of all the things that are going to be checked every day. I can promise you on Monday we'll be having at the list of those days. But thanks for having me, the Honorable Chief. Colleagues, the meeting is adjourned, and thanks for all who are here. Let's go and enjoy our lunch.
Yeah, you can help yourself.